The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Grabbed by Klingberg, and he just races up the middle with it. Looks on the left for a man. Skinner tips into the offensive zone. Couldn't really control it. So the Kings will get it back. 6:40 remaining in the game. Here are the Kings on the right moving in. They score! Brant Clark taking the pass on the right wing side and beating Askarov cleanly with a hard wrist shot. Suddenly, the Kings are ahead 4-3.
All right, what's happening, everybody, and how are we doing as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to play the second game of this homestand? They are going to be taking on the New Jersey Devils tonight. It is going to be a 7 o'clock start time, much more convenient for the entirety of the world as opposed to the 8 o'clock start time the other night. But you know what? The Sharks played a good game against LA the other night, and I've brought us in on that cut of the LA Kings going up 4-3 on San Jose to remind everyone that even though it was a loss, that was a tight game that didn't necessarily have to be a tight game. The Sharks were down 3-0, came roaring back to life, kick-started by a goal from Macklin Celebrini to Will Smith, one of the most disgusting passes you'll probably see in the NHL this year from Macklin Celebrini, and an absolute no-doubt finish from Will Smith. But it is that feeling where every time we go into a game for the Sharks, we're all excited to see what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith do next. Now, there is one notable name not in the lineup tonight, and that is Michael Mesa. Obviously, they're getting closer and closer on when they're going to have to make a decision on him, as well as Sam Dickinson. With Michael Mesa, though, and I'd like to remind everyone of this because I think sometimes people look at it as always a punishment, but I think there is a lot to learn when you're watching the game from above, especially if you are a young and inexperienced player in the NHL. You've played only so many games. This is a greater physical toll that your body has never been through quite like this before. And now there's a chance, and I don't know if this is the case, but I'm wondering if they are giving Mesa a little bit of rest to get ready for his first ever back-to-back this weekend, and maybe he will feature in those two games. It does get a little bit more interesting because Adam Gaudette has been placed on IR. That was a storyline we were paying attention to, and now that is most definitely a reality to where he's going to be away for a little bit. So that's unfortunate because I really like the way that Adam Gaudette was playing, and I thought that he was fitting nicely into his role with San Jose, and so hopefully he'll be able to bounce back sooner rather than later. But the other thing that we've been looking at is that, you know, all the defensemen that have been dealing with injuries or all the defensemen that have been in and out of the lineup, you know, they're all skating and available right now. You know, Shakir Mukhmudulin is going to be back in that lineup. Nick Leddy was skating. You know, we saw Klingberg come back, and, you know, there's just a number of guys and probably some roster decisions that are going to have to be made here in the near future for San Jose. But it's a relative good problem to have, and you want to make sure that there's a little bit of pressure on both Michael Mesa and Sam Dickinson to know that there are no guarantees at the NHL level, even if they are high draft picks, even if they are at a point in their careers where they've been, you know, drafted and developed. But right now the goal is on winning. And that's something we have to continually remember, is that last year, yes, we did see Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith get a whole lot of playing time. And yes, Will Smith even early on got sat down a few times. But I think that going into last year, there was less of a focus on really making the growth steps that they're hoping to this year. Last year, it was play the kids. Let's see what happens. They knew that they were going to make a number of trades at the deadline. I imagine that this year they're going to make some trades at the deadline and maybe even ahead of time. But there was the sense that it was not going to be a big step forward. It was probably going to be another year towards the bottom of things. But now we look at this San Jose Sharks team and we see, what are the goals this year? You know, it's the idea of getting better. It's the idea of showing growth, showing improvement from a year ago. And I know that maybe not everyone wants to hear this, but it took till their 10th game of the year last year to get their first win. This year they did it in game 7. You know, this year they've got 6 points through 10 games. So these are all relative improvements. This is all a team that is taking a step in a right direction, even if it's not the step that you ultimately wanted it to be at this point. And, you know, I think there's still a chance that those first two games, if they win those, we've got an entirely different outlook on the season. But you know, right now I think that I'm relatively okay with how the Sharks are playing. So with Michael Mesa, though, as I don't want to get away from that at this point, I think that some of the things that you've noticed up to this point is that he is incredibly dangerous. And I saw a great tweet from our guest Big Head Hockey the other day, who was talking about some of the underlying metrics of what we've seen up to this point from Michael Mesa. In his last four games, a goal, two assists, 10 high danger scoring chances. That's 13th in the NHL, 1.68 game score, which is fourth on the Sharks. And then you juxtapose that with the fact that he's not playing a whole lot of minutes. He's not out there for a great deal during the game because he is young and he is learning. So those are all things that I really, really like for Michael Mesa right now. It's not hard to see those things on the offensive side of his game. But I think on the other side of that, you also have to acknowledge that he is getting pushed around a little bit out there, especially on the defensive side of things. He's not winning those puck battles. He's getting beaten on the boards, things like that. And those are a big part of growing in the NHL. It's not like it just happens automatically. It's not like a guy just arrives. And I know that you can point to Macklin Celebrini a year ago, but at this point, Macklin Celebrini is having one of the most rapid and meteoric rises in the history of the NHL, where everyone saw after, you know, 70 games last year, oh, okay, this kid is the real deal. He is the next face of the NHL. He is a dynamic, line-driving, game-changing type of a player. It didn't take everyone very long to figure that out. I mean, we all saw it in that first game, and then he missed 12, but it was like, holy Lord, that team was dangerous. They scored, you know, a number of goals. They were up 4-1 in that game, lost 5-4 in overtime. Macklin had, you know, a number of points in that game. That's rare, guys. We cannot expect that to be the reality for Michael Mesa. We can't expect that to be the reality for every young player. Development takes time. It's one of the things that we heard from Ryan Warsawski after the game the other night, where he said there's no magic button you can press, or I'm paraphrasing, maybe he said pill you can take, but you know, there's no magic trick where suddenly these guys are experienced 28-year-old players in the prime of their career who have been there and done that. They have to go through those learning moments. They have to get through those difficult periods to understand what it takes to not just excel in the NHL, but win in the NHL. That goes for Sam Dickinson. That goes for Quentin Musty and Luca Cagnoni and Igor Chernyshov and all these other players that we talk about within the Sharks system, whether it's at the A or whether it's beyond. But, you know, these players have to figure it out. They've got to learn. They've got to go through the process. These high draft picks are not all going to come in automatically ready to play. It takes time. It takes development. And I know that we're all impatient because we haven't been to the playoffs since the spring of 2019, but you know, the time for the Sharks to get back into the playoffs is not too far off in the future. And I know that's still a tough sell for a lot of you guys, because you're like, well, Ted, I'm interested in the here and now. I'm interested in what's happening with the Sharks right now. And right now, they are laying the foundation for what will hopefully be the success that they stand on later. You've got to develop Dickinson. You've got to develop Mesa. You've got to develop Will Smith. You've got to develop Yaroslav Askarov. You've got to develop Quentin Musty and Igor Chernyshov. And, you know, you go on and on. You go down the list. You talk about all these high-profile prospects that the Sharks have been able to acquire. It's no surprise that the Sharks have the best prospect pool in the entirety of the league right now. You ask any of the guys, whether you're going to talk to, you know, pundits at NHL Network, The Athletic, wherever, it's Sharks. When you're talking about those prospects, the difficulty comes in turning those prospects into stud players in the NHL. And that's why they've got to go through a longer process. And this is something that we talked about, you know, in our season preview roundtable. Nick Nolenberger alluded to the fact that Mike Greer is slow playing a lot of these guys because he wants to make sure that when it is their time, that they are ready. And I think that that is when you will see the Sharks take a rather monumental leap in terms of where they are. Everyone had the ideas of what the Colorado Avalanche could be in a couple years, and then they turned into that. People had ideas of what, you know, Tampa Bay could be after they bottomed out, and then they turned into studs, and it was, you know, it was lights out. The hope is that with San Jose, it turns into that. And you can make allusions to what we saw in Edmonton or, you know, wherever you want to go. You talk about these teams that developed. You know, that's what the Sharks are going through right now. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a snap-your-finger moment. But I do think there will be a point when all of these prospects have arrived or have been traded to bring in other established talents, which is always part of that reality because there's only so many names you can have out there. There will be a point when these guys are all ready and all capable of making that impact on the NHL. And yes, you've got your superstar players, hopefully, at that point, and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Michael Mesa, as well as Sam Dickinson. And then you go to the next tier of players, which you would assume would be the guys at the A right now, maybe even Shakir Mukhmadul. And the hope is that with all the ability that he has, that his long stick and, you know, the amount of space that he takes up out there on the ice, his orbits, if he can stay healthy, he'll be able to establish his game rather quickly as well. And so the Sharks will be able to take that big step. And that's something we even heard from the owner. Hasso Plattner talked about it before the season opener this year of wanting the Sharks to be able to take that step, to be able to be in playoff contention next season. Now, listen, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself and forget about this year and write it off as some meaningless time period. I would still love for the Sharks to turn things around and start to win the majority of their games and at least get themselves back into that conversation to where we can talk about the Sharks being in a playoff conversation. Let's recall that a year ago, after the Sharks had an absolutely horrific start, they did start to climb a little bit closer to that playoff conversation, and people started saying, look out for the Sharks. Of course, at that point, the Sharks traded away Mackenzie Blackwood to the Avs because Mike Greer knew that there was no point in this team trying to make some sort of a playoff run because he wanted to sell off pieces to bring in assets, which they were either going to use as picks for development or use as trade pieces to bring in some of those established talents that I alluded to. But, you know, the Sharks can turn things around. It's just a matter of starting to win games, of which, yes, thank you for being Captain Obvious, I'll say to myself. But, you know, after tonight, they're going to play on Saturday the Avs. That's a tough game, the way the Avs are playing right now. Then they're going to have to play the Red Wings on Sunday. Another tough game with the way that the Red Wings are playing right now, who they themselves look like after the last 2 years. Everybody said, oh, this team's going to go. This team's going to have their moment. It took time. So now after that, you look at Seattle out on the road, then back home for two against Winnipeg and Florida. We are looking at a very, very difficult stretch of scheduling here before they go back out on the road for three against Minnesota, Calgary, and Seattle. Now, Minnesota's having some big-time trouble right now, so I'll be very curious to see what the Sharks do in that game. Same story in Calgary, and Seattle is beatable. So again, you know, you've got to play these games. We look at them right now, and we know that those teams, as they are right now, will either be not as hot or not as cold as they are right now. At least that's what I would imagine. And so the Sharks, who are not as cold as they were and have been presenting problems in every single one of their last five games, will be able to provide more problems for a very talented New Jersey Devils team tonight. You know, the Sharks gave the Devils a lot of trouble the other night. They were on the second night of a back-to-back. They had just had an incredible and emotional victory against the Rangers the night before, but that was a good game that the Sharks played. They were in that game start to finish, and I hope that is more of the reality that they show in this game tonight, is that they can take advantage of the things they did well in that game against New Jersey and do it in tonight's game against New Jersey. You learn from the previous games. That's a big part of all of these games, even if it's Macklin Celebrini who we're talking about. He is still in that process of learning. You know, we've seen Alex Wenberg start to play a little bit better. I thought Jeff Skinner was active the other night in his return. So, you know, more of these guys getting back into the lineup, starting to look like they're more of an impact player. Philip Kurshev is another one. If they can start to kind of get into a rhythm, of which we have to acknowledge as part of the narrative as well, when you have the amount of turnover that the Sharks had from 1 year to the next, there was going to be an on-ramp, right? Like there was going to be that period of everyone where they get up to speed. And now it feels like, yes, although we are in the 11th game, the Sharks are getting more up to speed. I would like to see more out of Tyler Toffoli. I think he's been figuring things out as well. He's obviously, you know, never been older like the rest of us, but, you know, I'm sure there are adjustments that he is making. Will Smith is starting to come on in terms of his production. These are all factors that play into A, the Sharks' first six games. Now what we've seen from games 7 through 10, or 6 through 10, I should say, but they've been playing better hockey, and now it's a matter of them playing consistently winning hockey, which of course is the hardest part. That's how you go from being a team that's in the midst of a rebuild, even if we feel the teardown is complete. The Sharks are still in the process of building themselves back up, a process that's going to go on at the deadline, a process that's going to go on in the offseason, and a process that's going to still be happening for the next few seasons. Because I don't think Mike Greer ever just says we're done until he's got the team in a place where they are consistently vying for the playoffs. And that's a big part about it. You know, you have to get to that point where you are consistent game in, game out. The Sharks have shown a little bit of glimmer of that as of late, but it's about taking that next step. How do they play tonight at home against New Jersey? They've lost a game after winning 2 out of 4 in that road trip, came home, fell behind, not their best performance early on in that game to fall behind 3-0. Yaroslav Askarov was not his best self, and he was very, very curt, not in a mean way or anything, but he was very short after the game, indicative of him not being happy with his own performance. Can Alex Nedeljkovic come into this game, help the Sharks not fall into a hole like they did in that game, and be able to fight their way back into it? Be able to give themselves an opportunity to take command of the game? Because, you know, I looked back at last year, and off the top of my head, there was really only one game, and that was a, I believe, Saturday afternoon win against Seattle, in which it was a no-doubter for the Sharks, where they just got out in front early. I believe Ethan Cardwell scored his first ever goal in that game. That was the only real no-doubter win I could think of off the top of my head last year. Now the goal for the Sharks is to have not just these crazy, wild, incredible wins, because all of the points they've had this year have been in overtime games. Let's not forget that. Can they have a start-to-finish consistent performance of where they do take command of a game and keep command of a game? We've seen multiple times over the past couple of years where the Sharks have gotten out in front only to watch that lead disappear. We've seen it so many times that I don't even want to talk about it, right? But can they take control of a game, hold on to it, and win it in regulation? You know, go up like 4-1 and let that be, you know, your final. Maybe when they pull the goalie, they get it to 4-2. I'm not asking for a perfect game, but something like that. Something to where they have a normal type win. Because wins at this point for this franchise are relatively abnormal. I'm not trying to be, you know, inflammatory there or speak in the pejorative. We just have to be, you know, reality. Wins are not normal. They've essentially lost 3 out of every 4 games for the last couple of years. That's got to improve, obviously, for the team to take steps forward. But it's also about controlling these games. It's about finding ways to take command of a game and let that be how it's dictated. Let that be where the game plays out at the Sharks' command, because it's very reactionary up to this point. You know, that game against the Rangers, very reactionary. That game against the Wild, very reactionary. And yes, I give them a lot of credit for not faltering in either of those games, because they had their moments where they could have faltered, but they also had their moments where they could have taken command. And so for San Jose, it's a matter of finding a way to take control of a game and really put it out of reach and have that suffocating nature of what we see of the high-quality teams in the NHL. I don't think that that's a wild request to make. It would be difficult, most definitely, to do it tonight against the Devils, but that's the game that's on the schedule. You got to play your best game to win in regulation at this point. That's the next step for the Sharks as we talk about growth early in this 2025-2026 season. I am excited to see what we get from Alex Nedeljkovic out of tonight's game, because I think that he's had some tough performances. He's had some performances where he's needed more. He's had some performances where he's, you know, been pretty good. But, you know, at this point, I'll be looking at what he can bring to the table, looking at his rebound control, how he settles into the game. You know, the Sharks wildly outshot LA the other night. That was something that I would really, really like to see again in this game. See if you can get more offensive possession and see if when you do give up that possession to where Nedeljkovic is going to be facing those rushes, you know, how does he handle those? How does the defense handle those? How do they work in transition? How do they not kind of get caught out at certain moments? Those are the things that I'm going to be paying attention to. See what it looks like for this side. See what it looks like for the Sharks in another home game of where they have had some relative success as of late, and see what they can give themselves. So those are all the things that I'm looking forward to tonight, right? You know, I want to see, obviously, the star players play like stars, but I would like to see the Sharks as a cohesive team take command of a game and be able to do exactly what we expect them to do. Right now, the Devils are playing very good hockey. They've played 10 games. They are 8-2 on the year. They are 3-2 on the road. They are 5-0-0 at home. They are coming off a loss, however, so they're probably going to be wanting to erase that. Really beat up by the Avs the other night, 8-4. That is a rare scoreline for a team as good as the Devils are right now, but also Colorado is a very, very potent team. I don't think I need to remind anybody of that, but they're going to be looking to get right. The Sharks are probably looking at Tuesday night as a missed opportunity. They want to get back and be able to win 3 out of their last 6 games. They've won 2 out of their last 5, 3 out of 6, 500 hockey in a small sample. Doesn't sound terrible to me. Doesn't sound amazing, but it doesn't sound terrible. But, you know, those are some of the storylines going into tonight. Mark Smith is on the call with Dan Ruzanowski tonight. So be sure to tune in at 6:30 on the Sharks Audio Network, www.sjsharks.com/listen, or on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. Game time, 7 o'clock. And then, of course, I'll be back with you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide as we look back at the game that was. All right, we are all out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Rebound kept in by Toffoli. Smith behind the goal. Sets up Celebrini off the end board. Back to Smith. Score! Celebrini took it from Smith right back to Celebrini and right back to Smith. And Smith finishes it off to put the Sharks on the board with a goal as gorgeous as you'll ever see. 4:27 to go in the second. The Sharks are on the board.